Four podcasters with completely different backgrounds sometimes come together. Is it to conduct a séance? Is it to swap stories about alcohol addiction? Oh no. It's a comedy podcast swap extravaganza, the first swapcast of 2021, starring Pepper Goins from Rushmore Podcast, Gary Cocciolillo from Everything Imaginable Podcast, Angie Breyers from Out of Your Mind Podcast, and Greg Bornstein from Open Loops Conversations That Bend Podcast, all coming together. Comedy, hypnosis, conspiracy, aliens, past lives, and waving around domestic firearms casually. It's one event, one time, one place where all these weirdos and like a very hot Australian woman can come together down the chicken hole.
And now,
wait. Here it comes. There he is.
What's up? Are we recording?
Yeah, man.
Your hair looks incredible, dude.
Dude, you're on time, too.
Dude. Look at this room, Gary. I love it.
Thanks, man.
What's been the topics?
We're talking about a year review of 2020.
Oh God!
So hey, now that Greg's here, let's go around and do our favorite thing that happened in 2020. Greg, you go first.
Favorite thing that we did, just favorite thing in general.
Just favorite thing in general.
Dude, I think Alien Disclosure took a big upturn.
Huge.
I would say. I think this
and
was
you
a big
real
year,
like right? That was this year, and everybody forgot about that shit. Everybody forgot about what the Pentagon said about aliens, dude.
Yeah, man, because you know the article came out in 2017. The big one that first like kind of made it like legit in the New York Times, but then the Pentagon was like, yeah, no, it's actually legit this year. Like that was big, man, and it became just very popular. Like it's very mainstream. Now, what it happened, Angie? I mean, basically, there was an article. No. The Pentagon like actually came forward with a statement. The U.S. Pentagon had said like, yeah, we've been looking into UFOs for years, and it's actually like there is. they kind of played like a like a coy angle with it,
yeah.
Which I found was unique, right?
Yeah.
Like they weren't just like.
That's very three-letter organization.
They didn't say it was aliens, but they said it was aliens.
Yes.
I think they phrased it crafts not of this world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. So, because I remember hearing something just briefly, it was just on the internet, but they were saying something about Trump was going to put money towards UFO investigations and stuff.
Ah, did he? Was he? Well, who said that? The guy, the Israeli. Well, that was the other thing that came out.
The Israeli guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The former space, like head of one of the space defense programs, I don't know, in Israel, said something that, you know, Trump, yes, we've been communicating with ETs for years, and that Donald Trump was supposedly going to disclose all this stuff, but then the aliens didn't want him to. Humanity wasn't ready for him yet.
Oh, wow.
What do we think about
that? They've got a room at Mar-a-Lago? Oh.
I love that, because he was a big deal in Israel. Like he wasn't some like low level fucking guy. Like he was a big
That's big, and that there's an underground base on Mars, which strangely enough corroborates some of the research that and guests that I've had on the show. I mean, Gary, I know you've been talking to some secret space people.
Yeah.
Like, they've been going to Mars for years.
Yeah, right? I've gotten Mars, Venus, the moon, the base in Antarctica, which I'll be doing a show on soon.
Yeah, I was listening to that episode with Olaf Phillips. Was talking a lot about the Antarctica.
So. Yeah, yeah. I actually have the guy. Like Olaf Phillips was talking about this guy, Richard Allen Miller, who I know. Yes. So I have Richard Allen.
Yeah, you had him on too.
Yeah, yeah. I have him coming back next couple weeks.
That's awesome, dude.
Now, who are they talking about in Antarctica?
Well, there's an underground alien base there.
Okay. See, I've heard a bunch of shit. So I used to be, I don't know, I used to dabble in conspiracy a little bit more than I do now. But what I heard is that there was an operational Nazi base that's still going on in Antarctica, and there was one in the Hollow Moon.
The one in Antarctica has definitely been shut down.
Okay. But they had one.
He did have one, yeah. The guy that I'm having on, he's been there, and he said like the last time he was there, it was just sort of like empty. And, you know, it was like just like scraps left. There was nothing else there. It wasn't like it was before. Everything's gone.
All right. So, okay. So, all right. All right, well, I'm going to need to listen to that episode, you know?
Why is everything always gone with these people, though? They show up, it's gone. Same with Montauk, right? If you go to Montauk right now where the time travel experiments were happening,
it's
all destroyed. Like, guys, why isn't there just... this is.
But that was still up during, like, the early 2000s. During, like around 2001, 2002, you could drive to Montauk and check it out.
The Nazis have a really good excuse for not being there anymore.
That's true. Yeah. Oh gosh, are there still Nazis around like that are into the occult?
Oh yeah, man, they're everywhere.
I mean, there's still Nazis around.
Yeah, I don't.
Isn't that whole group in America a front for Nazism? What's it called?
Which one?
Republican.
I don't know. I only see it on news flashes.
There's something
that's associated with Trump, those guys.
Oh, yeah. The guys with the Hawaiian shirts.
I don't know. I don't watch the news.
What is every single one of us is in a different room tonight, which I love. Yeah. Like,
I'm always in this room.
I'm out of the closet, dude. We're liberated.
Yeah, Gary's in just the new setup. I'm in my sister's bedroom right now, childhood bedroom.
Nice, dude.
Because I'm not in Cape Cod right now. And then Angie's in like a whole different set. What is this part of your house?
I'm in the same room. I'm just on a different angle. Because see, it's
maybe
daylight.
Maybe it's also
here,
daylight, so it looks.
Lose the flash off the window, so you're looking at my stand-up paddleboard by the front door.
Oh my gosh, what is that noise?
I don't know.
It was pretty cool.
Was everybody talking about Angie's like psychic phenomena experience going on?
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I couldn't understand the text messages at all this morning. Really, it was like I woke up this morning, opened my eyes, like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah, Angie, are you able to articulate this as a coherent story?
I communicate with animals, right? So you've heard some testimonials of people about that. I've had, you know, animals from all around the world. Like I'm sitting at home at 2 o'clock in the morning having a glass of wine because I'm finished my day.
Yeah.
And I hear this message from a horse, help, help, I'm in trouble. And then I focus in on it, which is what I do. It's like, what? You know, because I know that that's not me thinking. And so I'll focus in on a message. And then I'm sort of like, I sort of go into it and I'm like, where is this coming from? And I'll either get a picture of a person or a horse or a dog and then I'll get it. But I, you know, got messages from this horse and then I'm like, oh, really? I'm going to contact his owner who's a skeptic. And, you know, and then I have these concerns. But I've learned through my history that I have to do this or something bad happens here, right?
Yeah.
And so I have that, or then when I'm working with people, for example, in hypnosis, you know, I'm connecting into them and I'll often be seeing what they're seeing in their hypnosis, or I'll have, you know, messages from them come through from, you know, family or stuff like this. But this is the first time that it's happened randomly for someone that I don't even know. So somebody contacted me on Messenger and said, hey, I'd like to make an appointment with you. You know, what do you charge? And I said, oh, yeah, I charge $280. You know, you pay by PayPal, take about 2-3 hours. Mm. And, you know, what we do is you got the car, I got the keys, take you down there, you ask your own questions, you know, because your empowerment, right? And they're like, okay, thank you very much, get back to you. And then I'm feeding the dogs and I keep hearing these words, it was a silly accident. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeding the dogs and it keeps coming back. So then I have to stop and I focus in and I see this person and their icon, you know, with their message. Do you know what I mean? I kind of see in my mind the Facebook message and the icon of that person. And then I'm like, okay. Anyway, so I send them this message and I said, look, I keep hearing it was a silly accident. You know, I hope that helps. I hope this is meant for you. I'm not sure. And that person's like, oh my God, yes, absolutely. I'm like, okay. And they're going, oh, how did you know that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It just sort of came in and you know, I'm getting on with what I'm doing. And then suddenly, whoosh, all these messages start coming through and I'm, you know,
So they're in your head. They're like, you're getting the initial, it was an accident. It was like you were like I've heard it described as channeling. Like it's not some, yeah. A message came into your head. And then these other messages were just like it was just a bulk load of more downloads, if you will.
So it's kind of like I've got a notification that, hey, there's a phone call coming in from you for you. And then I'm like, oh, phone call. Where's my phone? Okay. There's my phone. Okay. That's the message. I think it's for this person. So I said to them, hey, this message. And then the call connected. And so then I'm sort of like, and then, you know, this woman sort of saying to me, how would you have known to, I'm like, I don't really know. And then suddenly I say, hey, are you called Ma? You know, affectionately. And she's like, yes, I am. And I'm like, okay. You know, and then all of these messages come through, you know, it was addiction, you know, because I'm getting shown addiction. I'm getting that feeling of feeling addicted, you know, someone craving. And and so suddenly all these messages come through and they come through in a way that you'll either see a word or part of words. So sometimes, you know, you'll sort of see it in your mind, like up there, you know, like someone's written on a blackboard. So I'm saying, oh, is there someone called Mary? And like, no. Anyway, I'm just carrying on. I'm just delivering them as they come. So I've learned not to put my own spin on it. You know what I mean? I just have to relay it as it is, because sometimes I've missed things by saying, oh, maybe this is, and I've been taught, keep your opinion out of it. You're to deliver the way the phone call comes.
So, it's journalism.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, so it's addiction and I'm going, oh, she's there with her other friends and she's going, yes, there are three of them. And I'm like, okay. And so all this stuff's coming through and then finished the phone call and she's saying, why would she have thought to get a hold of you? And I'm like, I don't know, to be honest. I know that they connect with me at other times, but never like this. So I don't know. And then suddenly this message comes through and it's like she's talking and she's saying, okay, well, I knew that you weren't going to make the appointment with Angie in time, that you're really, really busy and you weren't going to make the appointment and I wouldn't have the chance to get this message to you in the right timing. It would be too late. And so therefore, the people that work with me or whatever, obviously said, it's cool, we'll put a call through to this chick, right? And so because she had reached out to me, I guess she basically dialed into my whatever it is zone and they've just gone, yeah, we'll just connect the call.
It's so interesting.
It felt to me like, hey?
It's so interesting that you pick up like literal, like almost text messages and shit like that and not... Like, I've heard other people, it's like, I get this feeling or I see this color or something like that. It's almost like yours is more tactile and easier to decipher, I guess.
Well, I think I've learned to open myself up and just sort of stand there and not put judgment on and just go, oh, bring it on. If it's coming, just let it come. And so, for example, you know, one message is going through and then I get this sense of great peace and relief and I know that that's the person giving the messages is sort of like, oh, cool, I got through to my mum, right? And then I'm sort of like, oh, I think she's feeling relieved now because I'm actually feeling relieved. So I get a sense sometimes. So, for example, you know, the horse in the paddock that went down in the paddock and had, you know, obviously a blood clot behind the eye. And I'm suddenly feeling this blinding pain behind my eye and in my head. And I'm like, I stand in that pain and I go, is that me? But I get a sense of, I feel that pain, but it's kind of absent of me. So it's kind of like, something behind some glad wrap, or, you know, as men would put it, having a condom on, there's a difference. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So you can differentiate between your own pain and that, or, you know, if I have a gut feeling, it'll be that, but it's not my own. So it's that kind of just a thing of like, if you concentrate on, you're going, yeah, that's not mine. That's got something between us. So but between that and like kind of seeing words written inside your head. And
you think this is happening to you more right now than before for some reason?
That's the first time there's been a direct call for someone that I haven't literally connected into to do some work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm wondering. You got a referral.
Yeah. I got a referral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you documenting all this? Are you writing things down as it's happening so you don't forget, or is it all memory?
No, I was just responding to her. I do this work all the time. So with people that are here, you know, I've often got messages for them from people. So, you know, like for example, what would normally happen is, you know, I had a woman coming for a session to go down there. She's, you know, she's a counselor and psychologist, and she's had this whole lifetime, but she's always wondered why she was raped when she was 21. And she's never been able to find the answer. And she also wanted to know, you know, why she cannot remember anything from the first moment this dude touched her. So, you know, I connect them with her, we go down, take her down in hypnosis, and she's in this place. So I generally take people to do their own healing, right? Because I'm not a guru and I don't have the answers. And, you know, I can tell them answers that I'm hearing, but much better to do your own journey, right? So I take them down and we go down by a lake or the ocean, and we light a fire and we hang out, and I go, you know what, this is the space where all psychics go. This is the place where people go to get those answers for you, and here you are. So you can ask those questions, and they just ask them out there and the answers come back. But then, like for her, for example, I've got other kind of voices talking to me. It's kind of like there's people here. And you know, I'm seeing what she's seeing and hearing what she's seeing as she's seeing it. So I'm saying to her, ask the question, you know, why me? And so she calls out, you know, why me, you know, in her mind. And then she's sitting there and she goes, no, well, that can't be right. And I'm like, okay, what did they say? Or, you know, what did you hear? And she said, they said. So everyone defines what they're talking to differently. Some people will go he or she or they or God or whatever it is they're doing. But she said they said that I asked for it. And that can't be right. So I'm there. I just hold space, right? I'm like the old Indian lady, you know, standing off. And so I say, well, just ask the next question. She says, what's that? And I'm like, well, ask them, when did I ask for this? And she's like, oh, so she asked that. And she comes like, oh, before I came to this life. And I'm, okay. Ask them why I asked for it. And then she asked it. And they said, well, you wanted to learn about, you know, the effects on the body of trauma and how it affects the body and relationships further on in sexuality. And you wanted to study that and learn how to overcome it, which is why you're in this exact room right now, because you realize that after 50 years or so of doing all of these different things, that it's actually instant. And it's internal, and that's why you're in this place right now. You planned it, and it will be instant. And she's like, oh, okay, I get that. And I'm like, okay. And you know, I'm actually hearing the same thing in my head, you know, like that thing from last night. And so then I say, okay, we'll ask them the next question. And she's like, what was that? And I said, you wanted to know why you felt nothing, right, after he first touched you. And she said, oh yeah. So she asked that. And I'm sitting there and I'm getting the answers sort of like a split second before she is. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, when you've got a TV on in one room on the same show and a TV on in the other room, and there's kind of just that little catchy thing. And as she's saying it, so I'm kind of hearing it. And she's having a conversation with them, and I'm sitting there and I said, so how are you going? She goes, well, no. And I'm like, what are they saying? And she says, well, they said to me, oh, well, you didn't want to remember. You didn't need to remember it because that's not what you're studying, right? You want to study the effects on the body and how to overcome it. But if you want to remember it, we can show it to you. And she's like, no, it's all good. So this is how it normally works, right? But I'm definitely connected in and focused on that person. And you know, this is, so last night was the first time it's ever happened exterior of that to just some random person. Then I have to figure out, you know, who it is over there. And it's not someone that's been left from this life for 6 months or 12 months, because generally people won't come back, you know, that quickly with such strong messages. It was, you know, at the end when she said, she was right that I was going to change the appointment because I'm trying to organize her funeral. And I'm like, whoa, what? When did she leave? And she said, a couple of days ago. And so to me, it was like she was saying to her mum that she's up there in a hospital and that doctors are looking after her, right? She's got there and they helped her because it was a shock to her. And you know, they helped her through the shock and to transition. And then now they're working with her and her grandmother is with her. And, you know, it's really nice up there. It's a cool garden. And so to me, it felt like the doctors had said, yeah, you're right. Your mum's not going to get the message soon. And we do know it's important to you. What we'll do is we'll put a call through and we'll get that done.
Wait, you know, so mum, hey? This is interesting. Did you have a date tonight?
No, I haven't had a date for about 10 years.
Are you serious? Because yeah. I would have loved to see this power and how it would have worked with a guy.
I got a question. So are you telling me that this life that I'm living could be an experiment that a past life is running?
Whoa, that's a good question.
Because that's what I gathered from what we were just talking about.
Well, I know, because there's a between lives thing. So a lot of my clients actually go between lives, right?
God damn.
You know, there's no way I would have chosen this life.
So a woman coming for child abuse, right? Woman coming that's been abused as a child wants to know why her. She's a good person in there, and take her down, and she ends up at this big oval table, and there's all these beings there, and one of these beings is a lion with a flaming head, right? And they're all her counselors and things, and she's planning this life she's coming down to. And they're all crying and saying, no, you can't do that. That's just too, no one can survive that. And she's going, this is where I need it done. I have to walk my own talk. I need it done early. And this is what I want done. And everyone's going, no, you can't do that. People are crying. And then one that loves her more than anyone, that has spent many lives with her, stood up at that table with tears streaming down his face, and said, I believe you. You are a gallant soul. She was coming down to teach people to overcome trauma, right?
Yeah.
But what about Pepper?
She has to walk her own talk. So this person says, I believe you and I know that you can do this. But if it must be one that does that to you, I would rather it be me than someone that doesn't love you or know you.
Yeah.
So I will sacrifice this life to help you with that. And that person was her father.
That's fucking wild.
Was the abuser.
Oh, that's pretty. That is actually.
Right. So when you really think that, her hatred in this life for her abuser, that she had actually asked him, according to this experience, to come and teach her about abuse so that she can overcome it herself and then go on to teach and help and heal other people. And he had sacrificed this life to be the one, because he didn't want someone that didn't know her or love her to do this, that there would be some level of, that's huge stuff.
Is it always that? Is it always something between lives or past lives usually? Do you think, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, usually my experience, people have come and they've set up that, you know, they want to experience love, right? So you wanted to experience love. Well, you needed to experience what love is not. You set it up to experience love. You have to experience the whole side. So you needed to overcome that. And that's so they have these discussions with themselves or their higher selves or God or whoever it is that they're doing there. They have discussions. And a lot of these people, you know, I don't want to be rude, but a lot of these people wouldn't have that level of IQ to come up with some of the things that they come and start talking in the room about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they come back and they go, okay, there's no way that I could have thought of that. So a woman comes to me for weight loss, right? I take her down and you know, most people would say, okay, lettuce tastes amazing and steak tastes terrible and water's beautiful and you love to exercise, right? I say, well, nothing's changing in your diet. Nothing's changing in your life. So, you know what? Go and stand inside the weight that you're carrying. Stand inside. When you get there, let me know. Yep, I'm there. Okay. Follow it back to the moment you made the decision to put on all of this weight. And she goes back to her ex committing suicide in her house and hanging him. And she came home and found him.
Hmm.
And I'm like, okay. Why did you make that decision then? She said, because I will never get hurt again. And I, to defend myself, if I'm not beautiful, no one will like me. And then I'll do that. Like, okay. How does that make sense to you now? You know, you're beyond all that. Yep. Yeah. So we're able to go and heal that. But then we're there and I'm like, you know what? If there's things that you haven't said to him or there's things he haven't said, you can invite him here if you want. You guys can go and have a discussion and you let me know when you finish. And he's like, yes, I want to do that. So she does that. I said, let me know when he's there. And a little thing goes up and she has a discussion. And then when she's ready, I bring her back. And I'm saying to her, so, you know, do you want to share? And she goes, well, it was amazing. He said things to me that I could not have known about his life and what he was, you know, doing. And he never fitted in this body and he was always suicidal. And it was just a matter of time. It wasn't my fault. And he apologizes for doing it. But he needs me to stop grieving for him because I'm actually holding him back from his healing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's so many things and it's just such a, you know, I don't care how many years you go to a psychologist, you'd never get to there, right?
No.
But in one session, doing it with yourself, you're getting to your real answers. And so that's where my work is focused. But this thing that happened last night is a whole new, you know.
I'll tell you what's happening. December 21st. December 21st, 2020, we entered into the age of Aquarius. I think this is the, I think there's going to be the change in consciousness. I think people are becoming more connected, more telepathic. And I think, Angie, you're already on the precipice of doing this work already as a hypnotist for years. Like, I bet your work is going to transform as a result of the change in consciousness happening. Like, I think your work is going to be different a year from now, even than what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I was sitting out in the dark last night thinking about. You know, I was thinking, well, where did that come from? Is that like a new thing? Is this something I need to, like, well, you know, I need a drink. And,
Now, that said, I don't know if I believe in any of this Age of Aquarius crap at all, by the way. I have no idea. It feels right, though. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know any of it. Like, I don't follow horoscopes.
I don't know. Everybody's talking about that where, you know what I do believe? I do believe that we are moving. Somebody convinced me of this. I was talking to, my life coach on the show, and I was like, dude, what proof do you have that, like, we're entering fifth dimensional consciousness? And he's like, because telepathy is here. Telepathy. Think about it. You don't have to speak to a human being to have someone walk to your house and drop off a pizza.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd thought about it that way.
But well, telepathy, I can tell you, is here. Telepathy is here. That, yeah, you know, these animals are contacting me by telepathy, or I call it biofield, you know, so that doesn't get those connotations. Telepathy, mm-hmm, remote viewing, like whatever it is. And it's all pretty much, I believe.
More people are talking about it than ever, too, because of podcasts and connectivity. And I definitely think there was a rise in people just, like, making this stuff that was a little weirder, more like the UFO people. I mean, I wasn't around. Gary, were you into this weird stuff in the 90s? Like, what was it like to be a UFO guy in the 90s?
But, I mean, I was going to say a second ago, I didn't know about any of this shit until 2020, basically. Like, as far as, like, like the telepathy stuff and hypnotism, I thought 100% hypnotism was bullshit until I met you two. I thought 100% you guys sparked me to do some research, and I was like, oh, okay, well, it's not all bullshit. There's some bullshit involved, but
yes.
Yeah.
And there is some bullshit involved, and you know, it's like anything, right? There's good coaches and bad coaches. There's, you know, good Tylers and really crap Tylers. And it's the same with anything. You know, there's good hypnotherapists and there's ones that went to a course, learned how to induce people and yep, and did an NLP course and they're like, oh, I'm an expert now. But there's others that have a whole breadth of everything else to them, and hypnosis is a tool.
Yeah.
To utilize these things. So, you know, it's like anything. Just don't go to any hypnotist. You know, I've met hypnotists and NLP guys that, you know, it's like, oh, I can get any girl to go home with me tonight, you know, but by the words that I say, and I'm like, oh, good luck with that. But yeah, you know,
you can't do that unless you have my personality and my biceps. But anyway, so Gary,
exactly. Gary, and your haircut, your mullet, and your mullet.
Gary, as your life coach, I'll go ahead and answer for you about aliens in the 90s. It was pretty crazy. Okay. You might not believe this, but the combination of angel dust, punk music, and aliens in the 90s was pretty crazy for me. I am Gary's life coach. It's been great talking to you.
And the funny thing, like for me, is like this stuff for me really started like almost like in the 70s. I mean, I'm kind of old, so but
how old are you now?
I swear, like when I remember as a kid watching TV,
38,
and seeing this show called In Search of with Leonard Nimoy.
Oh yeah,
you know? And I was just like, whoa! And ever since then, I've just been completely obsessed with everything that has to do with aliens, the supernatural, the occult, psychics. You know, anything that was unexplainable, I just became just completely obsessed with. And it just never went away. You know, I mean, you would think like my 8-year-old mind would have matured past that point. Here I am, 53, and I'm still 8.
Well, I'm the same way. I caught all that shit when I was like 8, but your mind never matures past because we haven't gotten any fucking answers. So
that's
it's still
the thing.
Questions.
Like
it's like a show on CBS or something that never ends. Like you never get that resolution.
Yes.
It's like a soap opera.
And in some ways, I hope we don't. I mean, unless we get abducted. Like, okay, here's the other scenario. Like, what if the aliens did come down, and we went in the ships, and they took us to other worlds?
Half the people would not believe that they ever came down. Because Greg, imagine now you wake up on the internet tomorrow. There is a video of a beam coming down on the fucking White House, or just where, let's say Clearwater, Florida. There's a beam coming down from a spaceship on Clearwater, Florida, and people are floating up into it. And then, you know, they go off. Would you believe that would be a real thing?
Definitely not. Who is the guy?
Plus it's happened. Oh, like there's been reports, especially like around schools where the aliens will come down, land, come out of their crafts, interact with these children, and then they leave.
Yeah, and well, in Australia was one of the big ones.
Hey, right? There's heaps of reports of this in Australia. You know, a lot of people, like, you know, in Woi Woi, just north of Sydney, which is all these waterways, and they say that they see them come down all the time. And they come and they pull water up into their spaceships from the Woi Woi rivers.
Wait, have you seen Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story? I feel like Gary must have seen this.
I haven't seen it.
Pepper, you would love this.
I don't have enough time to watch anything.
This guy who, of course, got arrested for child porn, which, by the way, like, strange that it keeps... Did Pepper leave? Strange that it keeps, like every single time, you know, somebody has some out-there view, starts a cult, or might actually have connections, like there's some weird child porn connection. I mean, I'm not going to say that there aren't people into child porn out there, because I think there are, but, like, it is just weird that there's always seems to be a correlation between people bringing forth a truth and, like, all of a sudden, like, they discover child porn on their computer.
Last year, like the I think the president of MUFON that happened to.
It seems strange.
Because they can upload it onto a person's computer, report it, and boom, they're busted. I mean, just like I had a file deleted off my computer by the FBI.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, yeah. I interviewed. It was kind of fun. Of all the episodes I've done, I interviewed a guy.
Oh yeah, the mob guy.
Yeah, the mob guy, and he deleted like the first two parts of the freaking interview.
You think the FBI did that?
Absolutely, because the file I had checked, because we got disconnected, like it has happened with you. And I checked, and the files were there, and they were playing. They were fine. But
yeah.
2 days later, when I went to edit them and put them in Audacity and put them together, the first two files were still in my computer, but there was no sound on them.
What? That's so interesting. What do you think it is about, like, you know, you've had a lot of whistleblower type people on the show.
Yeah,
what
was it
about
him?
Those files?
I don't know. I mean, he inferred that Jimmy Hoffa was still alive.
That's fascinating.
Well, not still alive now, but he was never killed, basically.
Right, you know, right.
I don't know. I have no idea. I would have thought it would have been a guy who gave me the files from Project Stargate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have thought they would have came after me for that, but they hadn't.
Dude, that stuff is so cool. Okay, yeah, so the Sam Romanek thing, he like, I mean, in addition to the fact that, you know, a lot of people think he's a hoaxer, I suppose. He has a video in this documentary. I started watching it on Amazon Prime called the Boo Video, which is actual footage of an alien peeking through the window, like a little gray man, like peeking through the window and then like retracting. And like that supposedly, I mean, this whole documentary is just proofs of aliens. And he was on Coast to Coast AM and they asked him, you know, would you take a lie detector? And he's like, yeah, I'll take a lie detector. Like this is real. But like, dude, you watch that documentary. There's just no way there's an alien peeking out of the window. A little gray guy. Is that what they would look like? Like, and if so, I mean, does anybody have credible evidence of the actual creatures? Because look, Gary, in my time talking to people, like I've spoken to a few people now that have said, I talked to one guy that was like, yeah, I had the little grays by my bed. Mm-hmm. I wake up there by my bed. I'm like, oh, what? Where is the footage? I don't know if I'd ever believe it.
Well, there is footage, obviously, of crafts that definitely, yes, legit. Of the actual alien, there is a problem, and I have to admit, there is a problem with the gray aliens by your bed, which is sleep paralysis, because it's very common in sleep paralysis. A lot of people report seeing the same thing. So it is, yeah, a tough one to confirm. But at the same time, I won't tell people that it's not, you know, that's what it was, but it is a possibility.
Dumbing down. This guy was saying you dumb down too. He was like, yeah, they dumb you down when they're with you. I mean, I was talking to a guy who claimed that the little gray showed up by his bed, A, and B, that he actually he was a father. Like this alien showed up, dumped him down, had sex with him, and like he raised alien hybrids. Like that's what this guy was saying.
Right. I interviewed somebody who said she was abducted by aliens, and they were harvesting her fetuses, you know, for reproduction, but they did allow her to keep two of her children. And I have to say, she was really, really convincing. I believe her. Because, you know, from what I've heard, and I've heard over and over and over again about the grays, and it kind of goes along with Jared Murphy's theories that there were humans that left the Earth, spent a shitload of time out in outer space, evolved into the grays, and during that time also they lost two things. They lost their ability to reproduce, and they also lost their ability to have human emotions. And in order to be able to do that, get those two back, they have to use humans to reproduce and create, return themselves basically to the original form that they were before they left Earth.
I mean, yeah, man. So to answer Pepper's question, I don't think if I do, I think it was a fake video.
Okay. Yeah. hey Gary, what was your favorite thing that happened in 2020?
Oh, man, I'm gonna have to say there's a tie. There's the guy who gave me the the files from Project Stargate.
Okay.
And then the other one was interviewing a necromancer. I can't believe I actually got to interview a necromancer.
That was a very interesting. I did have to listen very thoroughly to that because I was like, is this guy going to talk about raising people from the dead? But I appreciated his spin on it.
Well, he does have body parts.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was that was interesting. And then he wouldn't say what he had, but he kind of did say exactly what he had.
Yeah, he didn't want to say he had a human skull.
But he definitely
but
we know
did. He had a human skull. I didn't know that a human skull was worth $5,000, man.
I got a buddy who has quite a few.
I'm going to have to hit the cemetery and start taking these things up.
Yeah. You can do that too. I got a buddy.
Careful,
who
you might start a new trend over there of people trying to raise money.
Yeah. I got a friend who has an oddities shop, and he has, so he deals specifically in like serial killer stuff and just like kind of weird. I mean, he sold human finger bones. He's got a human skull for sale for, I think, like $10,000 or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
He has a lock of Charles Manson's hair. He has
that's awesome.
Yeah, he has stuff that was. Oh, he has a John Wayne Gacy painting. He has he's got a bunch of different serial killer stuff.
Wait, so this is part of his store? Like the public can see he has these available for sale, or is this just his collection?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. No, you can go and see it. It's called damn. I'm a piece of shit for not knowing the name of the place. It's in Columbus, Georgia. But yeah, I think he's got that part just so people don't know. I guess so people don't come in there and get like shaken by what they see. He has like that part. You have to pay like $2 to get in. He markets it as like a museum and, yeah, that's where he's got all the weird shit. He's got stuff from Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. He's got you remember the wrestler Chris Benoit?
Yeah.
Who did
killed his family.
He's got, so the WWE tried to erase him from existence. He's got like a shit ton of autographed like Chris Benoit baseball cards and posters and stuff like that. He's got a ton of shit.
Well, this guy sounds like a great intro. We should get him on a Chicken Hole episode.
Yeah, we gotta get this guy.
He's not bad, man.
Dude, would he get him on one of these podcasts? I'd love to talk to him.
Oh, I can get him tomorrow. I've done a podcast with him. He's like super, super punk rock. He's got like head tattoos all over his head. Like literally his shins, one shin from here to here says punk. The other one says rock. Like he's punk.
Dude, Angie, you were looking for a real man. You're looking for a real man. This sounds like a guy who's man enough for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's very business savvy. He is.
Yeah. This guy sounds fascinating.
I can't stop messing with him because he's got a lot of business ideas. He does a lot of business stuff.
Business ideas. What does that mean? Oh, this sounds great.
He bought a very expensive house very quick into his last business venture and then moved very shortly. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I don't know.
He's connected, quote unquote.
Well, I don't know. He's got
like,
a lot of stuff.
Like, where does he get this stuff from? He must be connected somewhere.
No, people online. You can buy human skulls online.
Yeah, no, but like, God. You know, Charles Manson's hair and stuff like that.
eBay.
Oh, okay.
He just bought it.
It's extremely expensive. It's like $15,000 for a piece of Charles Manson's hair.
So is that how Charles is making money inside or something?
Well, he's dead now, but yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, no, legitimately, yeah.
Wait, so I want to, Gary, back to your the Stargate files. Yes. What kind of stuff was going on in there?
Well, you know, it was a remote viewing and government operation to spy on foreign countries.
Yeah,
and they used technology that was developed by Bob Monroe from the Monroe Institute, And yeah. And I was interviewing a guy. Actually, I had found him on Facebook. And at the end of the interview, he goes, "You know what, man? I'll just send you the files." I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, I'll send them to you." And he sent them to me. And I was like, "Holy shit!" And at first, I wasn't sure if they were real. Okay, so
yeah,
I knew another guy who I interviewed, who's an expert on binaural beats and isotonic tones, and so I sent it to him, and he listened to him, and he goes, "Holy shit, this is real." So me and him are now collaborating with the guy who has the original cassettes, and he's going we're going to remaster the originals and also do a modern remake of them.
Whoa.
So it's going to be a really cool project that I have going on for 2021.
That's awesome.
Dude, if I could be one person in 2020, it would be you whenever you found out that shit was real. Like, I can't imagine how fucking happy you were when you found out it wasn't all bullshit.
I knew it wasn't all bullshit because of Renata.
Okay. What is the deal with Renata?
Is this the girl in New York?
Yes. Yeah. Wait a minute. You knew from her that it wasn't BS? I thought you questioned her sense of reality.
I do.
But you do know that she was like a victim. I mean, you said about her that she's a victim of mind control, yes. You believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her father was definitely involved in something.
MK Ultra?
Probably.
Dude, I can't believe we both know Renata. Well, I mean, you okay, knew so- her.
This is breaking news, right? Like we haven't revealed this to the trick and hold public, right?
Shoot, did we say this girl's name on the air? Oh.
Yeah, like four times, but it's fine. Who cares?
Well, I mean, is that even really her name?
It is.
No.
You can't backpedal now.
Darn it.
Oh, it's a boat race.
I wasn't thinking. It's kind of late.
Are we going to get in trouble for? I mean,
nah, I think we'll be.
People
fine.
Won't even. People will have to.
Her dad might be pretty mad.
I mean, what's the worst that could possibly happen to me that already hasn't?
Like
being waterboarded.
FBI agents.
I mean,
yeah, they could break into your house and shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
See, here's what I've heard. Here's what I've heard. It's that you have to see it yourself for them to get you. Like, that's what got Isaac, what's his name, Cappy? Isaac Cappy, the guy that was, like, ratting about the pedophiles in Hollywood and, you know, like all the people that end up dying because they rat the truth. Like, they've seen it. Then they rat about it. Oh. That's what
Gary,
does you in.
If you want to know my biggest disappointment of the year... was the guy that I thought was Q, who turned out not to be Q.
Yeah. If we want to be honest, I had no doubt in my goddamn mind that that was not Q.
How could Scott or whoever, that country singer?
Oh, yeah. He
was definitely not Q. The first thing I asked him, too, is I said, "Are you Q?" And he thought for a second. He goes, "No." He goes, "Why you ask?" I said, "Well, you have a Q on your bass drum." And then I said, "Do you channel Q?" And he goes, "I don't think so." And he was actually a really good interview. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, he talks about, like, you know, Hillary Clinton being the black witch and all this cool stuff that was really a lot of fun, and people eating babies. And it was definitely awesome, but I was really disappointed that he wasn't Q.
I'm questioning your intel.
Yeah.
Never stop questioning his intel.
Let me see. My intel came from somebody. His show starts with the word mind.
That guy called you and said, "Hey, this guy's cute."
In the middle of the night, like at 3 in the morning. my wife was like, "What's going on? What's going on?"
What?
And then you just roll over. It's like, "I found out who Q is, baby. Go to back to sleep."
That's my favorite part of 2020, I think. That story. Wow.
So were you his source, Greg?
Not at all. What? Of mind of our other friend?
You know him. You've been on his show a couple times, Angie.
We're not. I'm not trying.
Oh, he told you it was at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Angie, is that a good time for that guy to break information, or what do you think about that?
I mean, yeah. If I'm receiving information at 3 in the morning, it has to be legit, right?
Yeah.
Either that, or he said, "Watch this."
Yeah, wait a minute. What was going on in his head to call you at 3 a.m. with that info, Gary?
Oh, there's a little. I had my phone buzzed. I looked at my phone, and I saw this weird post from him. And I said, and I messaged him, and I said, "Dude, like, what's going on?" And he goes, "Well, hold on 1 second." And he called me and told me what was going on. And I said, "Huh." And then afterwards, like, he deleted the post because he asked, he goes, "Well, maybe I should delete that. I don't want people knowing." and I said, "Well, this is great, man. I want this guy on my show."
This is amazing.
Because I thought it would have been, like, groundbreaking if I had outed a Q, but...
It would have been, yeah.
But I didn't do it.
We have to do that. We have to find out who Q is.
I think it's Flynn.
Interesting.
I don't even know who Q is, so...
I don't have an opinion either.
Yeah. Q. So,
what about you, Angie? Favorite part of 2020?
Yeah.
Well, I think discovering that it's just as easy to treat people online than it is face to face, because, you know, COVID cost me my whole business and all my therapists and stuff. So,
yeah,
a bit of a tricky number there for a bit, but you know, being able to come back this way was great relief for me, and it was a deeper understanding of what I do. But, you know, I don't get excited too much about things exterior of myself. So, yeah. Hey, call me narcissistic, but it's all I got.
Yeah.
That and beer o'clock.
I mean, you know, no one has said anything about, you know, meeting all of us and discovering podcasting. And
that was a very minor part of all of our years.
I guess you're right.
That's a given, Greg. That's a given.
That's the thing. Here. That's I guess we're just assuming that.
Greg, also, how sad on, would it be? Greg's,
being on Greg's podcast was one of the most difficult moments of the year.
Oh my God, I went on it. I went on Greg's podcast, and all he could talk to me about was, like, so, you know, dating. And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm like an old lady. I haven't dated for 10 years. And he just kept on and on and on about it. And he thought that was really cool. And I'm like,
I haven't even been on Greg's podcast.
Yo.
Coming on up.
Hey, we got to redo it. And then Angie, I know. I've been thinking about you, Angie, and how we're going to attack this.
Oh, you do not. You never think about me.
No. I was thinking about this because... What do you mean, Angie? I think it's like no one's asking you about your love life. I think it's very important.
Because it's non-existent.
See, and that's a rabbit hole.
That's extraordinary. That's extraordinary.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
57-year-old lady doesn't have a boyfriend, and it's extraordinary.
First off, you know
how scary I am to men? Do you know how many men say to me, You scare me because you can see right through me? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they go, well, you know, you'll be able to call me on my bullshit. It's like, well, don't do bullshit, right? And we're all good.
Sounds like a bunch of fucking pussies to me.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm telling you. Is this not an interesting? This is interesting stuff.
Right? It could be like me. I'm just like all bullshit.
Also, the most I've ever been hurt in my entire life was some chick who sat me down at a Waffle House at 2:30 in the morning and told me everything that was wrong about me. And I that happened when I was 18 years old, I still haven't forgot about it. I remember basically every word she said. So
how much has changed? How much has changed from the pepper back then to now?
A lot. I used to, you know. Yeah,
that's good.
Look, I have either guys that we end up being friends you know, years later, which, you know, they want to be friends for the rest of their life. They think I'm the best thing that ever happened to them, that they let it get away. Or others that just want to kill me, like want to destroy me.
That's definitely a bitch.
Literally survived a murder attempt.
Yeah.
Yeah, those that guys is are bitches. Crazy.
I've had some of those.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
No, so, I mean, it does hurt when everything about you is negative.
Wait, and Gary, you've had women attempt to murder you?
I had one hold a gun in my head.
Oh, I can believe that in a second. Oh, I got
a gun. But you owed him money for the angel dust.
No, this was a girl. This is my experience with online dating. I had met a girl in Boston, and like a fool, I took a Greyhound bus up to Boston and ended up in New Hampshire and with a gun.
You had a gun?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know,
it happens.
Were you date raped?
Huh?
Were you date raped at gunpoint?
Like, I want to.
Like, was this at the bus station, or did you?
I wouldn't use the word rape.
No, but I mean, what made her go?
Oh my God!
Hanging out to pulling a gun on you.
That's just her thing.
Oh,
I got a gun for Christmas, by the way.
I gave my wife a gun for Christmas. I gave my wife a 9mm.
Is that an actual weapon right here?
Yeah, yeah. I took the cylinder out so nobody thought it was like loaded or anything.
Looks like a Smith & Wesson.
No, it's a Heritage.
Angie, you've fired a weapon before, haven't you?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm the one non-gun person on this podcast. But maybe
not a good thing to be.
Maybe I should be. Maybe it's an American thing.
Greg, dude, come down to Mississippi, I will have you a whole weekend planned out, dude. You ever eaten crawfish?
Oh, once. Dude, crawfish mac and cheese.
You should come down here and hang out with me and Pepper.
I would love that.
I know crawfish is against the rules, but get your ass down here. Get your goddamn crawfish. We'll shoot some guns. We'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Angie, you should come.
I reckon.
Oh. I reckon. Yeah.
We've asked Angie if she can do an American accent.
You guys do like a little minivan tour.
Oh.
To where though? Like up, like me and Gary up to New York.
So, have your goal of Mar-a-Lago or something.
Dude,
that's not that exciting.
No, but there might be aliens there.
Where Trump knows it. What's the likelihood that Donald Trump has spoken directly with the Greys?
Zero.
Oh. Let's not say zero. I'll say one. Because anything is possible. Hey, everything imaginable, you fucking fucked.
Yeah.
So I'll say one.
Says the man pointing the gun at me. There you go.
I couldn't get the cylinder back connected. I got it now.
Oh my
gosh. At the same time, he's prepared to do things that he doesn't give a toss about. And so there must be some kind of confidence at the back of that he's going to be okay. So, you know, has he had conversations where they've said, yeah, do this and you'll be right?
Who, Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, after he's out of office, he's going straight to Russia.
You think so? Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
No. Putin went on TV the other day and said, yeah, he doesn't need to be coming here. Sorry, he's got enough mates over there, but no, doesn't need to be coming here. And the commentator said afterwards, I think Trump's just been
North Korea?
Friend zoned.
No. I mean, do you think he's going to go for Russian citizenship like Roy Jones Jr. or Steven Seagal?
That'd be awesome.
Question.
Yeah, Trump's got to do one final thing before he's out.
I hope it's talk about aliens. That
me
is really
too.
What I hope.
That's what I'm praying.
It would be awesome if he did that. That would he would redeem himself.
That's what I've told everybody. I was like, he would completely redeem himself if he just told us about aliens and then maybe left a little some breadcrumbs about the Kennedy assassination.
Yes, we were so close with that too. He was about to release all the documents.
Yeah.
So why didn't he, or was that just carrot tossing?
I guess there were some classified things in the other half that people convinced him it wouldn't be worth it. National security reasons, I don't know. But I don't even think there was anything that big in like the first half of the documents that got released. There really wasn't anything.
No.
Yeah.
It is interesting, you know, we've done, you know, but Gary, you've done a lot of conspiracy shows. I've done a fair number of, or talked to a lot of people at this point, but like, we really haven't hit too much. Like the Kennedy assassination is kind of like the original conspiracy theory. It's where the term like Kennedy came up with it, but I haven't really focused in a lot of it. Like, thoughts on it?
That was also another part of one of the topics that was in that episode that got deleted by the FBI. Actually,
do you have an answer on that? What happened with Kennedy?
Well, according to the person I interviewed, he said that the mob and the government had some type of arrangement, and you know, or they were working together essentially, and Kennedy was a threat to that. That agreement that he with organized crime and you know the government, and it just kind of went south from there. I guess way south. I mean, that's all I know. I don't know the, like, even to me, like, that information is vague.
Yeah.
Because there's no details of, you know, it's like, all right, so I mean, everybody kind of knows that the government and organized crime work together.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't really see the big deal. So I'm not sure.
Interesting. Okay, Pepper, take us home. What was, did you already answer, your favorite part of 2020?
My favorite part of 2020 was what happened unexpectedly with my podcast. We realized at the very beginning of 2020 that all of our favorite people that we want on the podcast were completely jobless and have anything better to do than our podcast. So we started hitting people up immediately. The first person that we got was this comedian named Mark Normand, one of the best comedians on the planet right now. If you don't know him, please check him out. He's got a YouTube special out right now called Out to Lunch. The best special of 2020 for sure. And it just went up from there. And we just had Ari Shaffir on last week.
Yeah, did you have him back? You had him back. I saw. That's awesome.
We did our Mount Rushmore Jews. So that was fun. Never thought that would be a topic that we tackled on our podcast. But I never could have. We've been doing this fucking podcast for 3 years, and nobody listened to it for 2.5 fucking years. And then just all of a sudden, like this year, with the guests and everything, it's just exploded. And we got sponsors and shit now. Like it's fucking
dude,
weird.
That's amazing.
We're not, yeah. So that's definitely my favorite part. And I would be remiss if I left out meeting you guys.
That's beautiful. I think I'm going to cry.
Angie's laughing at that.
I'm emotional now.
Angie just...
I didn't have this. This is... I didn't even realize that this is something that I needed. But I don't get to talk about weird shit with anybody in my real life. My wife doesn't... She doesn't entertain any of this weird shit.
Mine either.
She's like, yeah. So I need
my parents definitely don't.
Yeah. I need other people to talk to get all this weird shit out. And I've tried doing conspiracy theories with other people, like conspiracy theory podcasts specifically with other people. And it's just, I end up caring the whole thing. And it's just, I end up doing way too much work, and then I just end up hating it. And we never do a second episode. This, it's like, it's fucking sandbox. It's conspiracy theory sandbox. We're just out here playing.
Dude, I love that.
Fucking whatever. And I'm super into it. So I love this shit.
Dude, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's deep, man.
You can always go on the Psychedelic podcast and talk to them about conspiracies. Maybe.
Well, I don't see. I don't think I have the entry fee, you know?
I have no idea what those guys are doing anymore.
It's called, you know what, Greg? It's called methamphetamine, and it's called methamphetamine, and that's what it's called, Greg.
No comment.
They'll never hear this, and they'll never hear this, and it's fine. And they're doing methamphetamine.
He says, toting his gun.
Yeah. It's fun. I like doing like hand gestures. Like, I know for a fact it's not loaded. I've taken the cylinder out 3 times while we've been talking. I know for a fact it's not loaded. It's fun just to have like 100%, you know, it's not loaded gun, just blah, 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 blah. I like it.
Dude, do you have like a lockbox with the kids around?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
You gotta lock it up.
He didn't seem to get it from a lockbox. He just reached to his
That's what was the thing that freaked me out.
No, I got it. And it, whenever I have it just sitting around, I have the cylinder out. So to take the cylinder out, you just flip this thing, you press this pin, and then you pull this pin out, and the whole cylinder falls out. So you can't do anything with this. Like, I won't haul a bullet. Plus, it's got safety and everything. But whenever I have it just sitting around, so there's no kid on the planet that can figure out how to put the cylinder back in.
You ever like shoot at people at red lights when you don't go and it turns green?
Dude, like only in spring and summer. I feel like that's not a cold time of year thing to do. You know, whenever it's cold outside, I get a little bit more warmth in my heart. So I don't fire at
my wife always gets mad at me for traffic. That. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, it's just a warning shot."
Yeah. Oh, what a bitch, dude. She does it for real.
So speaking of which,
I can't wait to hear the rest of the speaking of which.
Yeah. You've only got a few days now until inauguration, right?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So we have.
Just a couple of good fucking Americans.
Wait.
Did
either of you vote?
Oh, I voted. I voted.
I didn't.
Really?
Yeah. Now we're the problem, Greg. Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Oh. I know. Will there be a civil war? Probably not. I feel like people are too late.
If there is, it'll be a short one.
Yeah. I think people are just too weak.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's like work. That's work for people to get up and care that much. Like, even
protesting is so fun, dude. Like,
Mitch McConnell acknowledged Joe Biden won. Like, come on. At this point, like, Trump is just like he's a fragment of the past, it feels like. Yeah, like, I think, Angie, I think it's over. I think it's over. I think Trump is done.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's gotten so deep, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, whenever y'all figure it out, just let me know. I don't give a fuck. Yeah.
But so you're like in Mississippi, aren't you, Pat?
Yes.
So, and that's a very red state, right?
Yeah. Oh, I found out today. You ready for this shit? The state of Mississippi is suing the country of China for coronavirus.
Might be the best thing.
Take that, China. Yeah, I was. My wife told me that. I was like, under what fucking court? Like, what court is hearing this lawsuit? It's no other state. It's just the state of Mississippi. She's like, yep.
How did he do that? It's not like they're the United Nations or anything.
I don't know. God bless him. I wish him luck. But with whatever they're trying to do.
The South loves their legal stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, it'll be amazing when they find that it actually came like by the CIA, you know, in a Tom Cruise movie where they've
That's true.
That because Trump owed China money and he thought how to get rid of China. I can't blow him up. It's a bit obvious.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
No, it's some Mississippi lawyer who's like, I may just be a simple Southern boy, but I know a few things about the law.
My biggest gun is in my pants.
Yeah. Here's a thing that I heard about China.
Wait, Pepper, do your Greg Bornstein imitation.
Wait.
You didn't hear
this.
This is amazing.
So, what do you guys think about this whole China thing? I think that it might be a whole ruse.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard. Okay.
So good.
I don't care. That's the best part of 2020, man.
It's hard to do your voice because your voice. I mean, we were talking earlier. We're talking so much shit about you not doing voice acting you, man. Stuff. Dude, we're talking so much shit about you.
We pushed you to go on as a voice artist, and you've done nothing.
Whoa! Yeah. Who says?
All of us.
I'm the opening of the Angie Breyers podcast. Out of your mind.
And what else?
And
what else?
And you have two scripts to read for me that would be great for your show reel, which you've done.
Oh shoot! I got
to
do that.
You've got your whole show reel to do, and then go out and get like a cool job. You have the coolest voice. You could be reading books on Audible.
Pepper's holding the gun into the camera.
Greg, I'm not gonna threaten you, but you should do it. Maybe reconsider it. Okay. Maybe reconsider it.
Okay. Next time we do a chicken hole, I'm going to do impressions of all three of you.
Next time we do a chicken hole, we're definitely going to reconsider me being a voice actor.
That's so good.
That's perfect. Good. It's amazing.
Yeah. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts.
You know what we should do? So I used to have, I was dating this guy in Sydney when I was young. I was probably like, I don't know, 24. And he's like a multi-millionaire, really cool guy. We were like best mates, right? But anyway, we used to go out and sort of, you know, when you're in a relationship for 2 years, sort of, so we'd meet in a bar, right? And what we'd do is I'd have to bring a business card home for him and he'd have to bring one for me. So I worked at Channel 10, a TV channel there. And so I'd get really cool cards, right? And we'd have to be the person on that card. And so we'd start at the opposite end of the bar and then kind of meet. Looks across the bar and all the bar staff would get involved in it. And that guy's bought you a drink. And then we'd have this whole career that we've talked about. It was really just so much fun, right? Because, you know, you run out of stuff to talk to, right? You're with each other all the time. So we'd have these whole careers and stuff. I reckon that would make a really cool drinking podcast that we all have to go into the character of some person that's been decided.
Basically, it's going to be all three of you just imitating me.
Yeah, if that's what that turned into, I'm stupid.
I don't know if I could imitate you.
Try, dude. I'm absolute. But okay, so I'll teach you the impression real quick. So the first thing you have to do is the mannerism of leaning into the mic. Greg always leans into the mic very hard.
Yes. Yes.
And then you have to start off at at one tone and then go up and then end low.
You know, I have a lot of people in my life that do Greg Bornstein impressions. I will say, I just was surprised that Pepper had one. like a lot of people do it. I know tons of people that do. People who I'm sure haven't even told me their impressions of me, but it's happened since I was a kid. I'm amazed. Yeah, go ahead, Gary. Let's see.
I don't know if I can do it.
You got it. The easiest thing to do is a question.
I'm Greg Bornstein.
So you can't just say I'm Greg Bornstein. See, you have to ask a question, and you have to start off very high and then go low into the meat of the question. Okay, mm-hmm. So
as Greg Bornstein, how do you da-da-da-da-da?
So that you have to start amazing. Off high. You have to start off high in the beginning of the question, go in low mm-hmm. as you can into the meat of the question, and then go back high at the end of the question. And mm-hmm. at the very end of the question, to punctuate, you have to go very low. So try that.
As somebody from Mississippi, tell me.
Oh.
Are you a redneck?
Okay, so what you did is you went, hi, I'm somebody from Mississippi. You came back high with Mississippi. You need to stay low through the entire part of that question.
He's doing a pretty good job, though. That was very good.
Yeah, I don't really have a high in my voice.
You did it there.
Kind of, but it takes a lot of effort. That's why I can't sing very well. I don't have a good pitch. I just sort of mumble like John Lee Hooker.
Sing us a song then.
Sing us a song.
Yeah, Gary, as we're going into 2021, we need to hear a final song to summarize our year.
If you don't feel comfortable playing a song, play at least a guitar solo, like just a quick something. I'll do the same. Well, to be fair, I'll do the same. Boom. We got three.
I'll vomit the plate.
My wife is sleeping though. She's gonna wake up if I'm jamming on my guitar.
Hey, my wife is asleep right there. Right there.
Down and out.
I'm not afraid to wake her up.
Acoustic. All right, I'll play acoustic.
Yeah, acoustic. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. Angie is good at singing too. Remember that the other day? Angie played.
Yeah, we're gonna have an internet campfire where we all sit around and play music and tell really, really dumb stories and coach each other into impressions of each other.
Wait, what? The best I can do is a Greg.
Wait, what?
that is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you, Angie, ask a question? Oh, tune it up, dude. Dude, turn around and tune it up. Angie, can you ask a question as Greg? And to be honest, Greg.
I don't know.
That's not bad.
Well, maybe we could.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I didn't realize I had
a Greg impression until today when I tried it out for them.
That was the best impression ever.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Ooh, yeah.
You want a whole song?
Whatever you feel in your heart.
Oh, wait.
Give us a riff.
Yo, motherfucker. Gonna put a cap in your ass. Hanging with Pepper, Greg, and Angie. Down the rabbit chicken hole. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that, guys.
Wow, that was an amazing. I don't know if it gets better than that.
Hey, it might. Looks like Angie's gonna go get an instrument. I'm gonna go pee real quick, and then I'm gonna grab a guitar as well.
Yo. We're still recording. We're still recording.
I gotta go work tomorrow.
I know.
And come home and do another podcast.
My God. That was pretty good, Gary. Yeah, you used to play.
Hmm?
You had a band life, dude. Oh wait, Angie's here. This is the problem when you do it all at the same time. It's hard to sync up music. Like, it's impossible to sync up music over Zoom.
Guys, do any of that stuff? You only do your rocky stuff, don't you?
That's pretty nice, though. Coming to a very special chicken hole, Gary Cocciolillo, Pepper Goins, Angie Breyers, and Greg Bornstein. Want to wish all of you a very, very happy new year. Oh, wait. And we got one more guitar coming out. This is great. This is great.
I couldn't find my pick, so.
I can use my teeth. The only an electric. Really? Yeah. I would have to use the electric to do that.
Yeah, what was your trick, man? Was that your big trick when you were out by the clubs?
I used to do all that shit. Play with my teeth, behind my head. Use my Johnson.
What?
Yeah, I can play with, yeah.
You can play the guitar with your crotch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you singing something, Greg?
I don't know. Which Greg are you talking to? The Pepper Greg or Greg?
Greg.
Let's hear Rushmore podcast, Greg Bornstein. Oh yeah.
What do you want to hear?
We want to hear play your version of WAP.
All right. I think I remember. Certified freak, 7 days a week. Red ass pussy, that feel like game week. Yeah. You fucking with some red ass pussy. Give me everything you got for that red ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop for that red ass pussy, yeah. That's all you get.
That's awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
No, that was really cool. I know part of Stairway, I think.
Are you now? What's up with the legal stuff with this? Can you play?
Who cares, dude?
Do we care about ASCAP? No, are we going to get kicked? We're going to get sued by, I don't know. Simplecast is going to get sued.
It wouldn't be anything new for me.
It's just a cover. There's covers everywhere, right?
What would a podcast? I would love to do a podcast that is just, that's one way to get to the top of the podcast charts. Like have a public lawsuit for just.
Oh, that's happened. It hasn't worked out great for podcasts.
All right, man, I gotta go to bed.
Hey guys, I love all of you. It's been great meeting you this year. Have a wonderful new year. And also, I just want to say that
incredible.
That was amazing.
Thank you.
For everybody listening, Greg just vomited an entire deck of cards, and we are all left speechless.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
Hey, guys, it's been super fun meeting you. I don't know why you have me on here, but I enjoy it.
We need you.
Yeah, it wouldn't be right without you.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
I just want to say,
it's been a great new year. I have no idea why you guys have me on. It's very confusing to me. I appreciate it. This is a great change of pace for me. And let's keep doing it. This is a weird.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
And I say happy new year to everyone. I know why you guys have me on here, because I have the biggest podcast on God's green earth and the most listeners.
Wow.
And I troll you life coaches and get kicked out of podcast groups. And it just makes for great entertainment.
Yeah, that thing that you do hasn't been any problem for anybody else at all.
So. I remember you crying because you got kicked off a podcaster's thing for abusing.
Yeah, he was trying
was
to make
funny,
money.
Though.
It was great.
I
wanted to charge people.
Yeah.
Why did
I 100% stand by the comedy of that.
Me too. Me too. Keep doing it.
I mean, I thought $350 was a fair price for an hour long interview with
you. Bargain, dude. The fuck?
Also, what about Greg Bornstein over there? Does he have any other things to say? Greg impression. Does he have any final New Year's wishes?
This year, I thought.
Nah, see, I can't. I'm out of it now. I'm out of it now because you have a little bit more.
I know. I'm kind of doing the late.
So,
night, like.
So.
That's good.
What do you guys think about the year 2020? I thought it was pretty good. What do you guys think?
That was cool.
I'm dying. I
Greg,
might do
if
it.
You don't go out and get work as a voiceover, then we'll just get Pepper up there.
Pepper goes as Greg Bornstein. Yeah. Oh, that'll go over great. Yeah.
Maybe I'll have Pepper on my show, but like me interviewing him as me.
It's a hard. I mean, it's not an easy impression to do.
Oh, that would be awesome. It'd be like Greg versus Greg. Yeah.
I love that concept.
We could make all these sound clips, right, of Greg mucking up, and we'll just put Pepper in there doing the voice, and then we'll.
Yeah,
put it
I
on.
Could. Yeah, anytime you want anything edited out, just call me.
Greg,
I'll
Greg admitting
that part.
Greg admitting he's coming out as a trans or something. You know.
Yeah.
I was born a girl.
Hey,
here's the thing. When I.
You could say a lot of yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I love you all.
Yeah.
Love you too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Talk soon, everybody.
Bye. Happy New Year.
I don't think Greg liked my impression.
For more conversations about all things conspiratorial, paranormal, and things worth owning a fire gun over, please go to Rushmore Podcast, available on all podcast platforms, Out of Your Mind Podcast, also available on all podcast platforms, Everything Imaginable Podcast, and KJRA Radio, also on podcast platforms, and of course, Open Loops Conversations That Bend. Another podcast. Will you ever be able to stop listening? You won't. This has been Down the Chicken Hole.